Welcome to the A-Level Ethics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in WGXC A-Level Religious Studies, Situation Ethics. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need to write a top band answer. So let's get started. Section 1. Setting the scene. Why situation ethics matters. First, a bit of context, because examiners love to see that you understand why a theory emerged when it did. The year is 1966. Joseph Fletcher, an American Episcopal priest and professor, publishes a book called Situation Ethics: The New Morality. This is the 1960s, a decade of enormous social change. The contraceptive pill has just been approved. The Vietnam War is raging. Traditional religious authority is being questioned on every front. Into this context, Fletcher offers a radical but deeply Christian idea that love, specifically agape, selfless, unconditional, Christian love, should be the only thing that guides our moral decisions. Fletcher wasn't working in isolation. Just 3 years earlier, in 1963, the Bishop of Woolwich, J.H. Robinson, had published Honest to God, arguing that humanity had come of age and no longer needed the rigid moral codes of the past. Robinson spoke of a new morality, and Fletcher picked up that phrase and ran with it. Examiners will credit you for linking Fletcher to Robinson and to the broader theological climate of the 1960s. It shows you understand the theory in its historical and intellectual context. Section 2. The theory itself. Core concepts. Now let's get into the theory. Situation ethics is best understood as a middle way. Fletcher himself described it as sitting between two extremes. On one side, you have legalism, the idea that there are fixed, absolute moral rules that apply in every situation no matter what. Think of natural law theory or Kant's categorical imperative. On the other side, you have antinomianism, the idea that there are no rules at all, that you just act spontaneously with no moral framework whatsoever. Fletcher rejected both extremes. His middle way says, enter every moral situation with the rules and principles of your tradition, but be prepared to set them aside if love demands it. The single most important concept in situation ethics is agape. Say it with me, agape. This is the Greek word used in the New Testament for a specific kind of love. Not romantic love, not friendship, but selfless, unconditional, other-centered love. Fletcher argues that agape is the only intrinsic good. Everything else, honesty, justice, keeping promises, these are only good instrumentally. Meaning they are good only when they serve love. If breaking a promise serves love better than keeping it, then breaking the promise is the right thing to do. Now, to understand how the theory works in practice, you need to know two sets of principles, the four working principles and the six fundamental principles. Let's take them in turn. The four working principles. These describe the approach or attitude the situationist brings to moral decision-making. Remember them with the acronym PRPP, or think of the phrase, pretty reasonable people prevail. First, pragmatism. The proposed action must work in practice. It must be practically achievable. If your loving intention produces a disastrous outcome, it hasn't been truly pragmatic. Second, relativism. There are no fixed rules. Everything is relative to the situation. However, and this is crucial, relativism in Fletcher's sense does not mean anything goes. It means that every rule is relative to the one absolute, love. So relativism is always relativism in relation to agape. Third, positivism. This one trips candidates up, so listen carefully. Fletcher's positivism is theological positivism. It means you freely choose to accept, as an act of faith, that love is the highest good. This is not the same as logical positivism, which is the philosophical idea that only empirically verifiable statements are meaningful. In the exam, if you're asked about positivism, you must make this distinction explicit. Examiners will credit you for it. Fourth, personalism. People matter more than rules. The situationist always asks, "What is the most loving thing I can do for this person in this situation?" Rules exist to serve people, not the other way around. The six fundamental principles. These are the propositions that define the theory's content. You need to know all six. One, only one thing is intrinsically good, namely love, nothing else at all. This is the foundation. love alone has inherent worth. 2. The ruling norm of Christian decision is love, nothing else. Love replaces all other norms, including the Ten Commandments and natural law. 3. Love and justice are the same, for justice is love distributed. Justice is not a separate principle. It is love applied across a community. 4. Love wills the neighbor's good whether we like him or not. Agape is not about feelings or affection. You can act lovingly towards someone you dislike. 5. Only the end justifies the means, nothing else. This is what makes situation ethics teleological. The rightness of an action is determined entirely by its outcome. The end, the most loving outcome, justifies whatever means are necessary. 6. Love's decisions are made situationally, not prescriptively. You cannot decide in advance what love requires. You must assess each situation freshly. The Mrs. Bergmeier case study. Fletcher illustrates his theory with a number of case studies, and the one you absolutely must know is the sacrificial adultery case involving Mrs. Bergmeier. Here's the scenario. A German woman, Mrs. Bergmeier, is captured by Soviet forces at the end of World War II and held in a prison camp in Ukraine. Her family, her husband, and children are back in Germany, desperate for her return. The only way a prisoner could be released was if she became pregnant, because the Soviets had no resources to care for a pregnant woman. Mrs. Bergmeier asks a guard to make her pregnant. She is released, returns to her family, and her husband and children receive her with love and gratitude. Now, the key thing here, and examiners are very clear about this, is that you must not simply tell this story. You must extract the ethical implications. What does this case demonstrate? It demonstrates that for Fletcher, an act that is conventionally condemned, adultery, can become the most loving, and therefore the most moral, act in a given situation. The intrinsic rules against adultery are set aside because love demands it. The means, adultery, are justified by the end, family reunion, and the well-being of the people involved. Section 3. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. In WJEA level religious studies, the assessment objective weighting for this topic is 40% AO1, that's knowledge and understanding, and 60% AO2, which is critical evaluation. So the majority of your marks come from your ability to evaluate, not just describe. Common mistake number 1, confusing situation. Ethics with utilitarianism. Both are teleological. Both judge actions by their outcomes, but they are fundamentally different. Utilitarianism aims to maximize pleasure or happiness for the greatest number. Situation ethics aims to maximize agape, selfless love for the people involved in this specific situation. The motivation is entirely different. One is about happiness, the other is about love. If you conflate these two theories, you will lose significant marks. Common mistake number 2, saying that situation ethics has no rules. This is wrong. Fletcher explicitly says that the situationist enters every moral situation armed with the rules and principles of their tradition, the Ten Commandments, the teachings of the church, and so on. These rules are not ignored, they are treated as illuminators, not dictators. They shed light on what love might require, but they do not bind absolutely. Common mistake number 3, failing to distinguish between the 4 working principles and the 6 fundamental principles. These are 2 separate sets. The 4 working principles describe the approach or attitude. The 6 fundamental principles describe the content of the theory. In an exam answer, you should name both sets and explain the difference. Common mistake number 4, using the Mrs. Bergmeier case as a story rather than as evidence. Every time you mention a case study, ask yourself, what does this prove about the theory? What ethical principle does it illustrate? Then say that explicitly. Now for the critical evaluation, the AO2 marks. The most important critic you need to know is William Barclay, who published Ethics in a Permissive Society in 1971. Barclay's central argument is that human beings are fallible. We are prone to self-deception, bias, and error. If we are asked to calculate the most loving outcome in every situation, we will inevitably get it wrong, and we will convince ourselves that our selfish or harmful choices are actually loving. Barclay argues that fixed rules protect us from our own moral weakness. In the exam, do not just say, it is too subjective. Reference Barclay by name and articulate his specific argument about human fallibility. That is what will earn you the top band. Section 4, quick fire recall quiz. Okay, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the title of Fletcher's 1966 book? Think. The answer is Situation Ethics, The New Morality. Question 2. What does agape mean? Think. Selfless, unconditional, other-centered Christian love. Question 3. Name the four working principles. Think. Pragmatism, relativism, positivism, personalism. Remember, P-R-P-P. Question 4. What is the sixth fundamental principle? Think. Love's decisions are made situationally, not prescriptively. Question 5. What is William Barclay's main criticism of situation ethics? Think. That human fallibility means we cannot reliably calculate what love requires, and fixed rules are therefore necessary. Question 6. What is the difference between theological positivism and logical positivism? Think. Theological positivism is the free choice to accept love as the highest good as an act of faith. Logical positivism is the philosophical view that only empirically verifiable statements are meaningful. They are completely different concepts. Section 5, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Situation ethics, developed by Joseph Fletcher in 1966, is a teleological Christian relativist ethical theory. It proposes that agape, selfless, unconditional love is the only intrinsic good, and that every moral decision should be guided by asking, what is the most loving thing I can do in this situation? It rejects both the rigidity of legalism and the chaos of antinomianism, positioning itself as a middle way. The theory is structured around the four working principles: pragmatism, relativism, positivism, and personalism, and the six fundamental principles, which define the role of love in moral decision-making. Key case studies, especially the sacrificial adultery case of Mrs. Bergmeier, illustrate how love can override conventional moral rules. The theory emerged in the context of the 1960s Cultural Revolution and was supported by J.H. Robinson's theological liberalism. Its main weakness, articulated by William Barclay, is the problem of human fallibility, the risk that individuals will misidentify their own desires as love. In your exam, remember, 40% of your marks are for AO1 knowledge, 60% for AO2 evaluation. Use specific names, dates, and quotations. Distinguish clearly between the four working principles and the six fundamental principles. Use case studies as evidence, not as stories. And when you evaluate, go beyond, it is subjective, engage with Barclay's specific argument. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.